Blog Talk Radio.
Why are men following the traditions of men?
in that, because if you keep in Sunday, it is just a fact of the matter. The Most High did not change his day. He did not change it to the first day of the week. But, you know, he kept his Sabbath intact. And it is men who have changed this from Saturday to Sunday. And so, you know, people are following the tradition of men. And so we're going to, you know, continue to look into this and see. I had a sister ask me a while back what could be done on the Sabbath day. You know, they're not able to attend. We're just going to record this, and I'll just point her to it. Because we want to honor the Most High. We're going to go ahead and get started. Honestly, we pray everybody's had a blessed day, that you have been blessed in the Most High, that you haven't worked for Pharaoh too hard today, and even for yourself too hard. I have been working with the plant all day and then trying to get the school up and running, put the water in and went to turn the pump on and have a leak in the top of the pump. And so we've been working on trying to repair that. It is just too hot. I got no tolerance for this heat now. And, you know, don't really feel like being out in it. Nevertheless, Yah is good and greatly to be praised. And so we are sticking with this, you know, trying to get things up and running. We are still, you know, trying to fight this heat with the microgreen crop. And so we endeavor to do those things. All right, that being said, let me have the ladies cover their head. Men, uncover your head. Oh, I want to say it was an excellent new moon service last night, and I really enjoyed everyone who attended. This new brother that we found to listen to as far as music goes, I really enjoy his music. Was listening to it the rest of last night after we were finished. And so, you know, I got a long list of his records, and I'm going to break them out so I can, you know, play them individually rather than on a continuous loop. But he doesn't have the time to do that. All right. Ladies, uncover your head. Men, cover your head. Ladies, cover your head. Men, uncover your head. I don't know where I'm at this afternoon. As we go before the Most High, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you on today, and we glorify you, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we extol thee, Yah. We extol thee. We raise thee up high above the heaven of heaven, Father, for truly you are the only one worthy. You are the only one worthy to be praised, glorified, and honored. Hallelujah, for you are the only true Elohim. And Father, we bow down unto you this day, and we worship you, we worship you, we worship you, and we thank you for all that you do for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Father. Hallelujah, thank you. All right, holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. In our verse for today, Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, thy Yah. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, this is the 15th lesson in this newcomer's class. And it's Yah's Sabbath rest, his rest, his Sabbath, and this is part three to that. And on the other days, we looked at different aspects concerning workers of lawlessness, that the Sabbath day is the Most High calls for it to be honored, and when we don't honor it, we don't honor him. We keep it to remember his creation. And we went over that the Sabbath is a perpetual covenant outside of the first covenant. This is a perpetual covenant with Israel and actually with the world, that anybody who keeps this, he says they belong to him, and that anybody who belonged to him should keep this day holy and set apart. And so in Isaiah 58 and 13, the Most High says, if thou turn away thy foot from my Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath of delight, holy of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own way, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou be a delight, then shalt thou delight in thyself in Yah, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yah has spoken it. So we looked at that, and he's telling us, you know, on his holy day, it's Yah's Sabbath. It's not Israel's Sabbath. It is the Sabbath of the Most High. And we are to keep it and honor it and all mankind, because this was even before Israel was created a nation, that the Most High blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. He rested on the Sabbath. And so it was his intent and is his intent that all his creation rests on the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. We can't pick a random, you know, seventh day, or say we're going to work 6 days, and then on the seventh day, our day off, we're going to, you know, honor the Sabbath, because the Most High has said his day is specific day of the week. All of the world that is in Christendom hallows the first day of the week. And so we're going to look at that also on today, who changed that and when they changed it. And then we're going to look at what we can and cannot do on Sabbath. We are told not to do any servile work. Servile work is, you know, our everyday work, or, you know, things that we go out and do and labor for ourselves, whether we're being paid for it or not. The Messiah, you know, clarified that we can do good on the Sabbath. We can, you know, we can pick corn to eat. You know, we got to eat ourselves on the Sabbath. You have nothing else to eat, then he's saying, hey, it wasn't a sin to pick the corn and eat it. Okay? So you can do good on the Sabbath day, but you can't go about doing your own pleasure. You can't go about speaking your own words. And so the Sabbath is supposed to be spent with our minds on him. And remembering that, what does he say? In verse 14, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath of doing thy pleasure on my holy day, it's his holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, holy of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him. So if we don't keep it, he's more or less saying we are not honoring him. If he set apart this day to honor him. And so he doesn't want us doing anything else. So I want to start this off on this evening. Let us go to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56. And we're going to be reading this whole chapter. We're going to be reading a lot of whole chapters in different books, because we want to see what the Most High does not want us doing. on his day. Now, we know we're not supposed to do any servile work. Not supposed to buy and sell. Everybody at the farmer's market are saying, hey, the big market's on Saturday. Hey, not going to happen. Not going to break the Sabbath of the Most High for my own gain. And so we'll read this in one of the books, that we're not to do that. He actually comes vehemently against it. So Isaiah chapter 56, starting in verse 1. Thus saith Yah, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. Now, how do you pollute the Sabbath? By doing that which he said not to do on it. Doing our own pleasure. Doing things like going to the baseball game or going to the football game or watching the baseball game or the football game, washing the car, cutting the grass, anything that, any type of servile work that's personal to us or any type of thing that brings us pleasure, we're not to do it. Keep his hand from doing any evil. Don't do any evil on the Sabbath day. Neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to Yah speak, saying, Yah has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. So the stranger, he said, don't let them say that, you know, they're not part of this. Don't let the eunuch say it. The man that has, you know, taken himself and he has not taken a woman, is not going to take a woman, has taken a vow not to be married. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. But thus saith Yah, verse 4, unto the eunuch that keeps my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. The covenant is the law. That's the commandments, the ordinances, the judgments. Those are the covenant. So he says, if they take hold of his covenant, if they do those things that please him, if they keep his Sabbath, even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and of the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the sons of the stranger that join themselves to Yah to serve him and to love the name of Yah and to be his servant, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Now, you know, the last thing people want to hear is the law. The law, the law, the law. Today, they don't want to hear it. But they want to take a hold of the covenant. They want to say they are part of the new covenant. Well, we know the new covenant is nothing more but the old covenant with a few modifications written in our hearts and in our minds that we should do it. So he said, Israel, to keep the Sabbath. He said, the eunuchs, which shall keep themselves away from women, he says, I'm gonna set them up higher. Then I do the sons and the daughters, the children of my people. You know, we're still being taken in marriage, given in marriage, still doing the things of the world and can't really focus 100% on Yah. Then he says he's going to do these things for the eunuch and the stranger. You know, for every Gentile that's listening or that, you know, picks up this recording, you know, I really advise you to read Isaiah 56 and 6. The sons of the stranger that join themselves to Yah, to serve him and to love the name of Yah, and to be his servant, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. How can you go to church on Sunday and not pollute his Sabbath on Saturday? A man can't arbitrarily, the Most High has never given man the authority to change any of his laws. That's why when I go back and I look at when did the church, when did my Hebrew brothers and sisters start doing something else? And it always comes back to some man, some tradition of man that they adopted. because they didn't want to. They didn't want to do it. But the Most High never changed. Okay, to take hold of His covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them a joyful in my house and a prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted in my altar. See, people don't know that. Yeah, even in the future, it's going to be established these sacrifices, not for sin, but those that please Him. For my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. Yah Elohim has gathered the outcast of Israel, said, yet will I gather others to Him, besides those that are gathered to Him. Yah, he's talking about the Gentile nations. I'm going to gather Israel, and I'm going to gather those Gentiles that will cleave to me, that will take hold of my covenant, that will keep my Sabbath from polluting it. Now, he's going to call all people, you know, to this battle, all the nations. He says, all ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yea, all beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, because most for monetary reasons. You know, I need to work. I need to make more money. You know, I can understand, and, you know, you have to go before the Most High if you are on a job that will not give you off. And then you got to say, did you do everything to get off from work? Did you approach them about it? Did you take the job knowing you would have to work those hours? Did they switch it up on you? Yeah, I understand those things. But then at the same time, when we are out job hunting, then if a job requires us to work on the Sabbath, we should be looking away from those jobs and looking for jobs that will honor and allow us to honor the Sabbath. The church doesn't always, not the church, but the government and men don't always do that. But the laws are in place where if you request it and they have to look in, they have to justify not honoring, not giving you at all. Out of a doubt that you are critical to the mission. And all you have to do is say, well, if I went out there and got hit by a bus, what would you do? You'll find somebody or you'll go without. So I ain't that critical. Anytime somebody's that critical to the mission, then they have a single point of failure. That's a point of failure on management. Let me go. They are greedy dogs. Can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look for their own way. Every one of his own gain from his quarter. Come, you say they, I will fetch wine and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as today and much more abundant. So most people are working on the Sabbath because it's job-related, it is gain-related, and they have not put forth the effort not to work on his Sabbath. Okay, but the Most High wants stranger within Israel. He wants Israel. Israel should automatically know they need to honor his Sabbath. Don't matter where you're at in the world. Don't matter what the government is saying. Because the bottom line is the Most High expects us to give him our all and be willing to die for it. Our morals have to be that high. That's what he's always required of his people, not a stranger. He says, hey, those that want to come close, those that that want to join themselves to Yah and utterly separate me from his people, neither let the eunuch say, I am a tree. So let's look at this. So they, you know, they keep the Sabbath from polluting it. I mean, they honor it. They don't do those things on his day they're not supposed to do. And keep his hand from doing evil. All right, so we see that the Most High expects the stranger and Israel to keep the Sabbath. And to set it aside and to keep it holy and not pollute it. Not come up with some excuse, you know, why they can't honor it. and you know, do those things that they ought not be doing. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17. The book of Jeremiah chapter 17. And we're going to be getting verses 19 through 27. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 19 through 27. Actually, we're going to start at verse 1. Let's just go ahead and start at verse 1 on this. And we're going to go down through 27. Jeremiah 17. And just, you know, catch the gist of what the Most High is talking about here. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. And with the joint of a diamond, it is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altar. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills? He's talking about Judah's false worship of other gods. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil. I'm going to allow somebody to come and take it. And thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thine heritage that I have gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in a land which thou knowest not, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith thou, cursed is the man, cursed be the man that trusts in man, and maketh the flesh his arm, making the flesh his strength, and whose heart departeth from Yah. For he shall be like the heat in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Yah, whose hope Yah is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out his roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But he her leaf shall be green, and he shall be not careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yah, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. On eggs, and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, getting them wrong, stealing them from people, taking them whatever, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Yah, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yah, the fountains of living waters. Heal me, O Yah, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of Yah? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. So Jeremiah is saying, you know, hey, I've done what the Most High has told me to do. And I haven't asked him to bring that woe for day. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Thus saith Yah unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people whereby the kings of Judah come in. So all of this has been about the kings of the people, of the children of Israel, of Judah, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, hear you the word of Yah, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that enter in by these gates, thus and bear no burden on the Sabbath. These people were working on the Sabbath and treating it like a normal day, coming in with their goods, going out with their goods, coming and selling and acting like it was a normal day. Bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day. Neither do ye any work. but hallow you the Sabbath day as I commanded your father. Don't do any work on my day. Don't carry any burdens. Don't pick up any sticks. Don't move any rocks. Don't mow any grass. Don't wash any cars. Don't do any house cleaning. So forth and so on. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ears, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if you will diligently hearken unto me, saith Yah, to bring no burden to the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the thrones of David, riding in chariots and on horse, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of Yah. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, even entering into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and in it shall not be quenched. And it shall not be quenched. So the Most High is simply saying, hey, don't do no work on my day. Don't carry no burden. Your full attention should be focused on me. You should not be doing your own pleasure. You should not be doing, you know, anything that's laborious on my day. So, no housework, no cutting the grass, no looking at the football games or the basketball games, because that's a pleasure thing. No going to the store and shopping. No going to pay the bills. And to do those things, you got to think about them ahead of time. So if they're due, you got something due on that day, you need to make it due before that day or after that day. Okay. So don't do any of your own. Don't make a burden some type of work that you have to do. We have to be conscious of this day, and we have to, you know, purposely schedule our life around it. It happens every week, and so we have to, you know, we have to set our life around it, just like the feast days, over Pentecost, trumpets, tabernacle. Any and all of the feast days. You got a purpose to do this. We live in a land that these are not the official holidays of the land. So, you know, you get some days off, you get some holidays off for man's purpose, but you got a purpose to keep the Most High holy days. Got a purpose to do it, because we're in a land that doesn't purpose them. They don't honor them. They don't honor the Most High. They have established their own Sabbath day, Sunday, contrary to the word of the Most High. So if you are, you know, somebody who is in truth, and you claim to worship the Most High Elohim, that he's your Elohim, that Messiah is your Messiah, then we have to keep his holy days. And we got to do it. See, this is why every and any day cannot be the Sabbath. Because you have people saying, you know, every day is the Sabbath. Okay, then you can't do no work any of those days. Because there's a law to the Sabbath. Not just keeping it, but there's cannot do in it. And they are a law. And to transgress that law costs people their lives. Even for just picking up some sticks on the Sabbath day. It's cold in his tent. Well, he was supposed to get those sticks before. Okay. So they asked him, You know, they asked Moses, what's to be done with it? Moses asked Mosiah. Mosiah said, he shall surely die. This is a killing offense. You know, and because we're not in our land, it's not an excuse. People want to use that, but that's not an excuse. So we just have to, intentionally, it's not a national thing as it was for our forefathers. We have to intentionally and purposely keep it. We have to purposely structure our life around it. You know, it's like we are in the world, but not of it. And so the world is not keeping it. But we have to. And the Most High says, hey, don't lift no burden. Don't do any type of work on my day. He told the men in Judah and around Jerusalem, hey, don't carry no burden through these gates. No goods. Don't be doing no selling. Don't be, you know, trying to work an extra day so you can get paid extra. Because it doesn't go over well with him. Go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 20. The book of Ezekiel chapter 20. Starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of Yah, and sat before me. Now, this is Ezekiel talking from the first person, okay? Then came the word of Yah unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith Yah, Elohim, are you come to inquire of me? Now, Ezekiel speaking on behalf of the Most High. As I live, saith Yah, I will not be inquired by you. Now let's find out why. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, Thus saith Yah, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am Yah, your Elohim. In the day that I lifted my hand unto them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt into the land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all land, then said I unto them, Cast you away every man the abomination of your eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. Now, this is when he brought them into the wilderness. They had been worshiping the idols of Egypt before the Most High came and rescued them. They were corrupt coming out of Egypt. They didn't come out of Egypt a clean people, a non-sinful people. They were worshiping the gods of Egypt. I am Yah your Elohim, but they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then said I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I work for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land and brought them into the wilderness. So the Most High had already confronted Israel in Egypt and saying, hey, put down your Egyptian gods. Stop worshiping those false gods. He said they didn't listen then, and they were in Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath, he and them, that they might know that I am Yah that sanctified them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbath they greatly polluted. Then said I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I worked it for my name's sake, that it should be not polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. Yea, also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgment, walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbath. For their heart went after their idols. They were doing things on the Sabbath that they were not supposed to be doing, and they were worshiping other gods on the Sabbath. So everything the Most High told them not to do, they were doing. They were doing it in Egypt. They did it in the wilderness. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them from destroying them. That's Ezekiel 20, verse 17. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am Yah your Elohim, walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. Now, as I said before, we did hear today, if we're Israel, we will hear Israel say all the time, we keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High. But you're not going to hear no Hebrew saying we keep the judgments. And this is what the Most High wants. I want you to do my judgment. I said, this is my judgment in this matter. I'm not asking for your opinion on it. If this happens, this is what you do. And I hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yah, your Elohim. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbath, that I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should be not polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. And I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the country, because they had not executed my judgment, but had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbath. And their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good. And here's what, you know, people don't understand. The Most High says, I gave them statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. He did this intentionally. Why? Because they polluted his Sabbath. They honored other gods and idols. They did what they wanted to do on his holy day. And they forgot about Yah. And it doesn't matter if we say, you know, I know it's the Sabbath, but then we don't keep it. It's the same thing. And I polluted them in their own gifts. You pollute my Sabbath, the gifts that I blessed you with, the ability to sing. Now you're going to start singing for the world. You'll start singing for gain. You'll start writing songs that are worldly instead of for the Most High. Whatever gift he gave you, he says, I polluted it. In that they caused to pass through the fire all that opens the womb, that I might make them desolate, that I might make them not existent, that I might make them few in number, to the end that they might know that I am Yah. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith Yah, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me. Blasphemed, in that they have committed trespasses against me. Now, again, people aren't really being taught what true blasphemy is. So, again, the definition of blasphemy is willful sin. Doing something wrong against the Most High and trespassing, and knowing that you're doing it ahead of time. and still doing it. That's the last. And in that they have committed trespasses against me, for when I brought them into the land, for the which I lifted up my hand to give to them, then they saw every high hill. Told them, don't go to every high hill. And all thick trees, okay, don't go into them asherim. And they've offered their sacrifice. I told them not to offer their sacrifices like that. Then I had to make a law that they had to bring their sacrifices to the door of the temple to make sure they weren't sacrificing to demons. And there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor, their sweet smell, and poured out their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high places whereunto you go? Why are you up on that mountain? Why are you on that hill? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, are you polluted after the manner of your fathers? And commit you whoredoms after their abominations? For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you? O house of Israel, as I live, saith Yah, I will not be inquired of by you. When we intentionally don't keep the Sabbath, Yah Elohim says, you don't want to be inquired of by us. I don't want to hear you. Because you know you should be keeping it. And yet, you're choosing not to keep it. Choosing not to. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, they say. We will be as the heathen, as the families of the country, to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith Yah Elohim, surely with a mighty hand and with the outstretched arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. I'm going to make it rough on you. And I will bring you out from the people, and I will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. So start with Israel. Start with the, you know, what they say, judgment starts at the church. Starts with his people. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. There will I plead with you face to face. The Most High don't beg nobody to do nothing. When he comes out pleading with you, he's announcing judgment. He's about to kick them behind and ain't taking names. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Yah. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring unto the bond of the covenant. You, when he passed up under the rod, only those that he wants to keep are going to make it under the rod. That was like the tithe. Keep run up under the rod, and all those that make it up under the rod, they get to go in. They get chosen for the temple sacrifice. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I'm going to purge them out. Those that rebel against me, don't keep my Sabbath, that are worshiping other things, that are worshiping idols, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yah. See, even all those people who don't even know that they're His, don't even know that they're Israel, they refuse to believe it. I refuse to be cursed. I refuse to accept. I refuse to accept that I'm Israel. Because somebody told me I was this, and somebody told me I was that. And when Yah sends them the truth, no, we don't know. We don't want to be like those Jews. That ain't us. Yeah, it is us. That is us. That is you. Okay? As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, go ye serve everyone his idols. and hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name, no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in my holy mountain and in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith Yah, Elohim, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them. There will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your obligations or your oblations with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. Now, people think that that's a good thing. I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. Go back and look when that happened before. That happened when, well, let's just go get it. Hold your finger there. Let's go to, I think it's Exodus 19. Just a second. Let me find. We're not going to go there. Go to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. I want you to pay attention to the wording here. And Nadab and Abihu. Nadab means liberal. Abihu means worship. Okay, that's what their names mean. And liberal worship, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before Yah, which he commanded them not. So, you know, the Most High is simply telling us in his verse, you don't worship me liberally. Do what I told you to do. Because if you do anything other than that, it is to me. I don't recognize it. And there went out fire from Yah and devoured them, and they died before Yah. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that Yah spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. He's going to sanctify Israel before the heathen. All the rebels, look and see what he did. And before all the people will I be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. See, we got to understand as a people, we don't get to do to the Most High what our forefathers did to him and get away unpunished. Fire came out and devoured them. They were rebellious. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 20. And let's go down to verse 34 and start there. And I will gather you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you were scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. And there will I plead with you face to face. This pleading is not, oh, please, 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 baby, please, do right. Ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about, I told you to do X, you didn't do it. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Yah. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, those that rebelled. Nadab and Abihu rebelled. They burned incense where they were supposed to. And Yah said, I will be sanctified before the people. He burnt them up. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yah. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says Yah Elohim, go ye serve you everyone his idol. And hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me, if you won't listen to me, but pollute you my holy name no more with your gifts, because people become an offering to the Most High and offering their sacrifice of praise and what have you. He says, hey, it's polluted. And with your idol, for in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, says Yah, Elohim, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them. There will I require your offerings in the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. If you are rebellious, the way the Most High is going to sanctify you or be sanctified before the heathen, sanctify himself, is to burn you up. If you're rebellious, this is what happens to you if you disobey me. See all these? Fire come out. So that the Gentiles, the heathen, know not to do it. And you shall know that I am Yah when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the country which I lifted up my hand to give it to your father. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled. And you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. I was wicked. I was evil. I didn't do what you said to do. And you shall know that I am Yah when I have done it with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O you house of Israel, saith Yah. So we can stop there. The Most High says they polluted his Sabbath, served their idols. He did not perform his judgment. He says, I will pollute you in your gift. Whatever you think your gift is, it ain't going to work for you. Because you pollute my holy day. Go to Amos chapter 8, the book of Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Thus said Yah Elohim, show me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said Yah Elohim unto me, the end is come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. The songs of the temple shall be howling in that day, saith Yah Elohim. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. Saying, when will the new moon be gone? When will the new moon be gone? Because they weren't supposed to do any selling or anything on the new moon. That we may sell corn. And the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit. See, our, you know, even our people that keep Sabbath, they refuse to keep the new moon. Because I don't even know where that spirit is coming from. Why they refuse? Because they want to do their normal work. They want to continue to sell and to do whatever they want to do. When will the new moon be over? When will the Sabbath be finished so I can do what I need to do to make my money? See what he's saying about people? They put money and gain over keeping his Sabbath. That we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes. and sell refuse of the wheat. Yah has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this? Everyone mourn that dwelleth therein, and it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, says Yah, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn my feast into mourning, and all mourning as in mourning, sadness, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as a mourning of the only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. So, you know, this thing, I'm going to make your mourning so deep, it's going to be like you only had one child and you just lost, and you can't produce anymore. When that happens to, you know, a man and a woman, they are so sick, so deep. This was our only offspring. That's what he said, that's the kind of hurt I'm going to bring. Behold, the days come, saith God, that I will send a famine into the land, not a famine of bread. This is the famine that he's talking about, nor a thirst for water, but the hearing of the word of Yah. Because people don't want to hear the word of Yah today. They'd rather go by what they think. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of Yah and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. They're going to faint for thirst of the word of Yah. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, the Elohim, thy Elohim, O Dan, liveth. And the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall, never to rise up again. So he's making a prophecy against the altars that are in Samaria. But it's also talking about people not seeking after him, and that there, sooner or later, there's going to become a thirst for his word. A thirst for it. And he says they won't be able to find it. Talking about doing work on his Sabbath and on his new moon to honor those things. Go to Nehemiah chapter 10. Don't do any work on my holy day. Don't do any selling, any buying. Don't take up a burden. For your own gain. Somebody call you with an emergency, go take care of it. But if it's for your own gain, your own pleasure, your own profit, don't do it. Nehemiah chapter 10. Of Nehemiah, there you are, chapter 10, and we're going to get this entire chapter. No, let's not do that. Hold on a second, let me get the verse. I got the right chapter. I apologize if I wrote down the wrong thing, but maybe not. Okay, let's start here in verse 28. Nehemiah chapter 10, starting in verse 28. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, and the porters, the singers, the Nethims, and all they that separated themselves from the people of the land unto the law of Elohim, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse. And we're going to find out why they entered into a curse. And into an oath to walk in Elohim's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of Elohim, and to observe and do all the commandments of Yah, our Elohim, in his judgments and his statutes, that they would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. People of the land bring ware, bring any type of good, any victuals, food, on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, or that we would leave the seventh year and exaction of every debt. Also, we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of Elohim, for the showbread and for the continual meat offering and for the continual burnt offering and of the Sabbath and of the new moon, for the set feast and for the holy things and for the sin offerings to make an atonement for Israel, for all the work of the house of Elohim. We cast lots among the priests and the Levites and the people for wood offering to bring it into the house of Elohim after the house of our fathers at times appointed by you to burn upon the altar of Yah, our Elohim, as it is written in the law, and to bring the first fruits of the ground and of the first fruits of all the trees year by year unto the house of Yah. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks to bring to the house of our Elohim, unto the priests that minister in the house of our Elohim, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and of our offerings and the fruit of our all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our Elohim, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes. And the Levites shall bring up the tithes of the tithes unto the house of our Elohim, to the chambers, into the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offerings of the corn, of the new wine, and of the oil, and unto the chambers, where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of Yah. So the people were not paying, they had to take an oath that they were going to keep the law and to keep the Sabbath. See. That was in verse 31. And if the people of the land will bring wares, if they bring goods, they bring microgreens, if they bring vegetables, if they bring the Toastmaster, whatever it is, if they bring it on the Sabbath to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, any holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year as an exaction of every debt or forgiveness of every debt. So, not supposed to buy or sell on the Sabbath. Go to Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. Now, these people took an oath that they were going to keep the laws of the Most High. They ended up not doing it, which brought the curse. On that day, they read in the book of Moses, in the audience of the people, there was found written that the Amorite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of Elohim forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them, Howbeit our Elohim turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude they separated. And before this, Elisha, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of Elohim, was allied with Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense and the vessels, and the tithe of corn, and the new wine and the oil which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers and the porters, and all the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem for the 32nd year, or the 32nd year of Arzaxis, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained leave from the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Elishabeth did by Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of Elohim. So he has set up this Babylonian house in the courts of the temple. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of Elohim, with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers did the work were fled everyone to his field. In other words, the Levites were supposed to be taken care of by the people, by their tithes and their offerings. But they weren't being. So the Levites had to go out and get jobs. They working in the field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of Elohim forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasury. And I made treasurers over the treasury, Shelemiah the priest, and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedadiah, and next to them with Hanan, the son of Sakur, the son of Mathaniah, for they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O Elohim, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of Elohim and for the offices thereof. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine pressed on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and laden asses, as also wine and grapes and figs and all manner of burdens. They just going about business as normal. So they're transporting goods. They are, you know, doing their work. They are treading out wine. They are carrying sheaves of wheat. You know, we just equate that stuff to today. They're doing their grocery shopping. They are doing their errands. They are just carrying on with normal everyday life, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victual food. There dwelt men of Tyre, also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? Profane the Sabbath day. Let these people come here selling food and selling their jewelry and their paintings and all of these different things. Their wares. And then all of them are working like it's a normal day. Why have you allowed this? Did not your fathers thus? Didn't your fathers do the same thing? Did not our Elohim bring all this evil upon us, city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath? And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gate should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants said, I at the gate, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and the sellers, all kinds of wares lodged without Jerusalem, once or twice. Because all these people that were there selling, they lodged outside of Jerusalem once or twice and see what he did. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge you about the wall? Why are you out here waiting around the wall for the city to open up? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From the time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. When he said he's going to lay hands on them, he's not talking about a blessing. He's talking about with a beatdown, with a killing. They ain't come no more. That's how serious this was. And I commanded the Levites, that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gate to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my Elohim, concerning this also. Spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. In those days also saw I the Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by Elohim, saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? See, the problem was not Solomon having multiple wives. It was that Solomon had multiple wives from different nations, from different people. Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his Elohim, and Elohim made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Outlandish women. They weren't Israel. They weren't keeping the laws. They weren't keeping the statutes. They weren't keeping the commandments or the judgments. They were coming with their own gods. He says Solomon sinned in that. That he married women outside of Israel. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our Elohim, to marrying strange wives, the strangers? And one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law of Sanballat, the Horonite. Therefore I chased them from me. Remember them, O my Elohim, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenants of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleanse I from all strangers, and appointed the awards of the priests and the Levites, everyone in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruit. Remember me, O my Elohim, for good. So when it came to the Sabbath day, what he did was he stopped these men, these merchants and these sellers from selling inside of Jerusalem. Y'all going to honor the Sabbath day. You're not going to be in here selling. And to the people, you're not going to be doing your everyday work, like stomping out the grapes and carrying your sheaves from the harvest into the city. You know, doing your tent making, your iron work. Changing your tire. You're not going to be doing all that stuff on the Sabbath. These things are forbidden. Okay? So understand. You can't do those things on his Sabbath day. You can't seek your own flesh. Can't do and speak your own words. It should be about him. Can't go and buy or sell anything. Cut the grass. Can't clean the house. Can't run errands. No shopping. No selling. look at who changed this day. Because this is where people want to, the vast majority of the Christian church wants to fall into the first day of the week, Sabbath day. There can be no doubt that Mashiach is the site, and the first century Christians kept the Sabbath and the seventh day Sabbath. Yet today, most of the Christians professing world keep Sunday, the first day of the week, calling it the Sabbath. Who made this change, and how did it occur? But you gotta ask yourself, how the heck did somebody change the Sabbath day? Who did it? Was it the Most High? Are we stuck in the past up under the law? Did we miss the memo that the Most High has changed his Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day? So, let's look and see if we missed the memo or whether there's some shenanigans that went on. No serious student of the scripture can deny that Yah and Sabbath at creation and designated the seventh day to be kept holy, the seventh day. You know, so I don't, you know, entertain people who say, well, how do you know Tuesday wasn't the seventh day? How do you know Thursday wasn't the seventh day? How do you know Sunday wasn't the seventh day? Well, wait a minute. It don't matter. How do you know it wasn't Friday? The first day of the week is the first day of the week, okay? And the seventh day of the week is the seventh day of the week. It don't even matter what their name is. So the seventh day could have been called Sunday, but it wasn't. The seventh day could have been called Wednesday, but it wasn't. Those independent or particular days were assigned to a given day. Saturday on our calendar is the seventh day of the week. So you got people just for the sole purpose that they just really don't want to keep it. What could have been any day of the week? No, that is wicked. Look on your calendar. What is the first day and what is the seventh? That's what Yah is going to hold you to. He's not going to hold you to, he's going to hold you to you saying, well, it could have been Wednesday, it could have been Tuesday. He's going to hold you to that too. What he's going to hold you with is you being disobedient. And so we got people that just find all kind of excuses not to keep his holy day. And on the seventh day, Yah ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Yah blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Yah created and made. That's Genesis 3. It was later codified as the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Let's go there. As the Most High did it from the very beginning, and then he made it a law for Israel. But it was already a law to mankind. Yah rested on the seventh day. He expected everything in his creation to rest on the seventh day. So Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day. What you remembering about it? To keep it holy, clean, unpolluted. 6 days shall labor, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. Seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, your Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor any stranger that is within thy gates. Why? For in 6 days God made heaven and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, made it holy. The word of Yah makes it expressly clear that the Sabbath observance is a special sign or mark between Yah and his people. There is no uncertainty that Mashiach, his disciples, and the first century Christians kept the Sabbath day, Sabbath as commanded, the day we now call Saturday. So let's go to Mark chapter 2, verse 28. Book of Mark chapter 2, verse 28. And the word of the Most High reads, therefore the Son of Man is Lord or Master also of the Sabbath. Kept it. The master of the Sabbath is surely going to keep his own day. He's going to explain what it can and cannot be used for. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, a custom is something that you do all the time, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So I said, you can go to the synagogue and you can keep service. You can go to the church and keep service on the Sabbath. He did it, then you can do it as well. But is there any biblical support for Sunday observance? Can you find it anywhere in the scripture where they observe the Sabbath on Sunday? There's absolutely no New Testament text stating Yah, Yeshua, or the apostles changed the Sabbath to Sunday. Not a text. Not a word, not even a hint, or a suggestion. If there were, those chapters and verses would be loudly heralded by Sabbath opposers. But had Paul or any other apostle taught a change from the Sabbath to Sunday, the first day of the week, an absolute firestorm of protest would have arisen from conservative Jewish Christians. The Pharisees and the scribes would have insisted that Paul or any other person even suggesting such a thing be stoned to death for the sin of the Sabbath breaking. Now, they did accuse Messiah of breaking Sabbath, not keeping it. They didn't accuse him of keeping it. They accused him of breaking it, not of not keeping it. It was the things that he was doing on the Sabbath that they accused him of. So understand, Messiah was keeping Sabbath. But the Pharisees were trying to say, oh, you doing something that's not allowed on the Sabbath. That's what they were always accusing him of. So if they came at Messiah for the things he was doing on the Sabbath, if Messiah wasn't keeping Sabbath, like he was really doing something that he wasn't supposed to be doing, then they would have surely, if he had said anything like the Sabbath is not anymore, they would have came after him to stone him. So it wasn't that he was keeping Sabbath that they were against. This was what he was doing on the Sabbath. Okay? The self-righteous Pharisee had already falsely accused Messiah of breaking Sabbath because he violated the added man-made rules and traditions they placed upon the Sabbath. The traditions and the doctrines of men. This is what they accused him of breaking. Their tradition, their doctrine. Go to Mark chapter 2. And let's get verse 24. Might get a couple of others out of here. Verse 24. Now let's see. Verse 2, verse 23. And it came to pass that as he went through the cornfield on the Sabbath day, his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungry, and they that were with him, what did they do? How he went into the house of Elohim on the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread. Now, the only people who were supposed to eat the showbread were the priests, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them that were with him. And he said unto him, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So he said, it's okay to do a good on the Sabbath. They didn't have anything to eat. They're going to a cornfield. They plucked some ears of corn to eat. They didn't light a fire. They were hungry. He said, now, haven't you heard what David did when he ate the showbread? And it was not accounted to him as a sin. Why? Because they came across it and to the temple being chased by Saul. And they were hungry and they needed to eat. He says they did that which it was not lawful for them to do on the Sabbath. But it wasn't lawful for them to ever eat the showbread. So he's talking about the spirit of the law. So the total absence of any such controversy over a change in the day of worship is one best evidence showing the apostles and other New Testament Christians did not change the day. On the contrary, we have a record of many Sabbaths that Paul and his traveling companions kept along after the resurrection of Messiah. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. The book of Acts chapter 13. Messiah has already been resurrected. He has already ascended into heaven. Get verse 14. And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So they are still keeping the Sabbath. Let's go to drop down to verse 27. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Go to drop down to 42 through 44, Acts, same chapter. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them. The next congregation was broken up. Many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of Elohim. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Elohim. So Messiah's done. His disciples, his apostles, they are still keeping Sabbath. Sabbath is still going on, and they're not teaching that the Sabbath was changed or canceled, that it was changed to the first day of the week. You won't find that. Go to Acts chapter 15. Let's get verse 21. Acts chapter 15 and verse 21. About whether Gentiles should be circumcised to receive salvation. And you have some Pharisees going out teaching the Gentiles that they must keep the law of Moses concerning circumcision. And they were not told that they had to keep, they were not told to tell them that. The Most High actually instructed Paul that the Gentiles didn't need to be circumcised in the flesh like that for salvation. And that they would learn every Sabbath day the law. So you just didn't hit them with a shotgun blast. Here, here's 614 laws you got to keep starting now before you can be saved. And if you want to come close to Israel, you got to be circumcised. No. That's what and what for the, that would be a culture shock. That would be a shock to the system. We ain't never kept those laws. We don't even know nothing about those laws. And now we got to rewrite our whole legal system and yada, yada, yada. For Moses of old time, verse 21, in every city, them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath. It was expected that everyone would continue to keep Sabbath, that the Gentiles would learn about Sabbath, and they would learn the laws of the Most High at the synagogue. So it's for salvation, let's go back to verse 20, but that we write unto them that they abstain from the pollution of idols, don't worship no other God, and from fornication, sex outside of marriage, and from things strangled, don't be killing your animals by strangulation, and from blood. That's how, that's what's required for them to be saved, for them to enter in. So they were to learn this on the Sabbath day. They're not even learning this stuff on Sunday. A lot of churches don't preach the book of Acts. So you got to know there's an agenda there. So we still see them keeping Sabbath. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. And let's get verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside, and where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. So they are out doing the work on the Sabbath day. And they're having service. They're going to have prayer. But they're gone down by this river to do it. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. Paul's manner was to go into the synagogues of the Jews, every Sabbath, and three Sabbath days reason with them out of the scripture. Three Sabbath days, that means 3 weeks. 3 weeks reason with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Messiah must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Yeshua whom I preach unto you is Messiah, is Christ. Sabbath days. He met them on the Sabbath days. And that was his custom. He was keeping Sabbath. He never taught not to keep the Sabbath. He never taught that it was changed. You won't find any apostle that ever said the Sabbath day had changed, the day of the week. Acts chapter 18. And let's get verses 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Sabbath day, reasoning with the Gentiles and the Jews, persuading them that Messiah, the Messiah is the Messiah, or Yeshua is the Messiah. Acts chapter 13. Well, we just came out of that one, so well, let's go get verses 42 through 44. Acts chapter 13, verses 42 through 44. In the word of the Most High read, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought the word that sought the Gentiles besought these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of Elohim. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Elohim. All right, so it is especially significant in that Paul and Barnabas, when speaking at the Jewish synagogue, were invited to speak again the next Sabbath. This would have been Paul's golden opportunity to tell the people to meet with him the next day rather than waiting a whole week for the Sabbath. But on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city, Jews and Gentiles alike, gathered to hear the word of Yah. Yet today, most of the Christians professing world keep Sunday, the first day of the week, calling it the Sabbath. The question arises, then who changed the Sabbath to Sunday, and how did it occur? This is how the Most High first brought me in the truth. He showed me, told me who we were as a people, and said, you got to start keeping my Sabbath, and you got to know who changed it. And I went a-searching, and this is exactly what I found. We got some Bible testimony. The New Testament plainly shows us we are to continue keeping the Sabbath. Now, we went through those scriptures. All 10 of them and the law. We got to keep all 10 of the commandments and the law. Where then do men get the authority to change the fourth commandment? By substituting Sunday for the original Sabbath, Mashiach, and the apostles kept. The Bible prophesied many centuries earlier that the time would come when men would think to change times and laws. Go to Daniel chapter 7. The book of Daniel chapter 7. And let me get my glass. We're going to go to verse 25. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. He's talking about Antichrist. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the times and times of the dividing of time. So somebody's going to come, and really, when you look at this from a different perspective, this age period, 1,500 years, that this person is an organization would be seeking to change the laws and the time. And they would change the Ten Commandments. They would eliminate the Second Commandment altogether. They would split the Tenth Commandment into two commandments so that they could keep ten. And they would change the Sabbath day, honor the Sabbath to keep it holy, to honor the Lord's day. And because most people in that religion weren't allowed to read the Bible, it was written and the masses were done in a language that they couldn't understand. They had to count on the priest to tell them what was being said. So let's keep going. Many Bible prophecies are dual in nature. That is, they have a type and an anti-type, an earlier and a later fulfillment. Though speaking specifically of the coming of Antichrist, we can see the forerunner type documented in history. The watering down of the Sabbath in the first 300 years of the church. The Christians during the apostolic era, about 35 A.D. to 100 A.D., kept Sabbath on the designated seventh day of the week. For the first 300 years of Christian history, when the Roman emperors regarded themselves as Elohim, Christianity began an illegal religion, and Yah's people were scattered abroad in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Judaism, however, was regarded at the time as legal, as long as they obeyed Roman law. Thus, during the apostolic era, Christians found it convenient to let the Roman authorities think of them as Jews, which gained them legitimacy with the Roman government. However, when the Jews rebelled against Rome, Rome put down their rebellion by destroying Jerusalem in 70 A.D. and began again in 135 A.D. Obviously, the Roman government's suppression of the Jews made it increasingly uncomfortable for Christians. So the converts were still continuing to, because all the early church were mainly proselytes and Jews. Jews being by birth converts to Christianity, and proselytes that had converted to Judaism had also converted to Christianity, most of them, okay? But they were pretending still to be and follow the Jews because the Jews' religion was accepted by the Roman Empire, whereas Christianity was not, what is known to be called Christianity, okay, what we call Christianity today. At that time, Sunday was the rest day of the Roman Empire, whose religion was Mithraism, a form of sun worship. Since Sabbath observance is visible to others, some Christians in the early 2nd century sought to distance themselves from Judaism by observing a different day, thus blending in with the society around them. We don't want to get persecuted. We don't want to die, so we're going to do what they do. We just do it in a Jewish way. So what happened? During the empire-wide Christian persecution under Nero, Maximus, Diocletian, and Galerius, Sabbath-keeping Christians were hunted down, tortured, and for sport, often used for entertainment in the Colosseum. You know, tigers, bears, gladiators, used for sport. That's what they were doing to the Christians, the converts. Constantine made Sunday a civil rest day. When Emperor Constantine I, a pagan sun worshiper, came to power in AD 313, he legalized Christianity and made the first Sunday keeping law. His infamous Sunday enforcement law of March 7 AD 321 AD reads as follows. On the venerable day of the sun, let the magistrates and the people residing in cities rest, and let all workshops be closed. Find that in the Codex Justinianus 3.12.3. And in the New York Times when it was reprinted in 1902. The Sunday law was officially confirmed by the Roman papacy, the Council of Laodicea in 364 AD decreed, Christians shall not Judaize and be idle on the Sabbath, or on Saturday, but shall work on that day. But Yah's day they shall especially honor, and as being Christians, shall it be possible to do work on that day. Now, when they say Yah's day, it's the Lord's day, which they made Sunday. If, however, they are found Judaized, keeping Sabbath, they shall be shut out from Christ. So this is what they were telling the early converts in the church. If we catch you celebrating Sabbath, you shall be outcast from the church. You need to keep the Lord's Day, Sunday. 89, freely admit, you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we, the Catholic Church, never sanctify. Now, this is a Catholic cardinal saying you can't find Sunday worship in the Bible. And the Catholic Church has chosen not to sanctify the real Sabbath. Again, the Catholic Church, by virtue of her divine mission, changed the day from Saturday to Sunday. The Catholic Mirror, official publication of James Cardinal Gibbons, September 23, 1893. Protestants do not realize that by observing Sunday, they accept the authority of the spokesperson of the church, the Pope. Our Sunday Visitor, February 5th, 1950. Of course, the Catholic Church claims that that change, Saturday, Sabbath to Sunday, was her act. The act is a mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things. H.F. Thomas, Chancellor of the Cardinal Gibbons. Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. Hear what they're saying. The church is above the Bible. And this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. Catholic Record of London, Ontario, September 1st, 1923. The fact that we changed it from Saturday to Sunday shows that we have the authority to. What? You hear what they're saying? Because we changed it shows that we have the power to change it. The fact that people follow it, they give it the power, the people that follow it. But that is a shocking admission. A prophecy come to pass. At this point, we need to note amazing prophecy in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, foretold as he shall speak great words against the Most High. The Catholic Church is above the Elohim of the Bible. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. Adam's thought commentary of the Bible says, he shall speak great words against the Most High. Literally, simone quae dislupia. He shall speak as if he were Yah. So Jerome quotes from Symmachus, to none can this apply so well as so fully as the popes of Rome. They have assumed infallibility, which belongs only to Yah. They profess to forgive sins, which belongs only to Yah. They profess to open and shut heaven, which belongs only to Yah. They profess to be higher than all the kings of the earth, which belongs only to Yah. They go beyond Yah in pretending to loose whole nations from their oath of allegiance to their kings when such kings do not please them. And they go against Yah when they give indulgence for sin. This is the worst of all blasphemies, because under the Catholic Church, you could buy the right to sin. And shall wear out the saints by wars, crusades, massacres, inquisitions, and persecutions of all kinds. What is this? What in this way have they not done against all those who have protested against their innovation and refused to submit to their idolatrous worship? Witness their exterminating crusades published against the Waldenses and the Albigenses. Witness John Hub, Jerome Prague. Witness of Summer's fires in England. Witness Yah and man against this bloody, persecuting, ruthless, and impure church. And think to change times and laws, appointed fasts and feasts, canonizing persons whom he chose to call saints, granting pardons and indulgences for sin, instituting new modes of worship utterly unknown to the Christian church, new articles of faith, new rules of practice, and reversing with pleasure the laws of both Yah and man. Who changed the Sabbath to Sunday? Your Bible says, but in vain, uselessness, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew chapter 15, verses 5, chapter 7, Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, and Mark chapter 7, verse 7. Further to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, the Bible, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Prove to me from the Bible alone that I am bound to keep Sunday only, Sunday holy. There is no such law in the Bible. It is a law of the Catholic Church alone. The Catholic Church says, by my divine power, I abolish the Sabbath day and command you the day of the week. And lo, the entire civilized world bows down in reverence, obedience to the command of the Holy Catholic Church. Thomas Enright, CSSR, President, Redemptorist College, Roman Catholic, Kansas City, Missouri, 15 February, 1884. The Pope has power to change times, to abrogate laws, to dispense with all things, even the precepts of Mashiach. The Pope has authority and has often exercised it to dispense with the command of Mashiach. It is a matter of biblical and secular history that Yah never changed the Holy Sabbath or transferred its solemnity to Sunday. Who did? Rome, in concert with the Roman Catholic Church, changed Sabbath to Sunday. What will you believe? Whom will you follow? The Elohim of your Bible or the traditions of men? The choice, dear reader, is yours. Say, the Catholic Church. If you keep Sunday, you are a Catholic. No matter what you call yourself, no matter what you say your faith is, your Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Lutheran, doesn't matter. Any number of the 30,000 all lump up under the Catholic Church if they keep Sunday, because it is the Catholic Church that decreed that law. It is the Catholic Church that changed that day. It's the Catholic Church that dissuaded people from keeping Sabbath, the Saturday Sabbath, made it against the law to keep the Saturday Sabbath. Man does not have the authority to change any of the laws of the Most High. None of them. But that's what you have. And that's what you have going on in the world today. And so we have to know we have family and friends who are Sunday worshipers. If you tell them they were a Catholic, they'd be like, no, I'm not. Not understanding you. Yes, you are. You're a Catholic. If you follow the Bible, the only day that you can truthfully come up to worship is Saturday, the seventh day of the week. But see, this is how I know that they are full of caca. By this, two things. You cannot get the day of the resurrection without using the proper Sabbath day. You cannot calculate Pentecost without using the correct Sabbath day, the correct day of the week for the Sabbath. So in the church, Pentecost is always on a Sunday. Always on a Sunday. Sunday is the Sabbath. And the way the book tells you to calculate, to come up with Pentecost, you got to count seven Sabbaths. Plus one day. So if you count seven Sabbaths from on a Sunday, the first Sunday would be a Sabbath, the second Sunday would be a Sabbath, the third Sunday would be a Sabbath, the fourth Sunday, the fifth Sunday, the sixth Sunday, the seventh Sunday. That's 49 days, seven times seven. Plus one day. That's what it says, seven Sabbaths plus one day. To come up with 50, you would come up with your Pentecost being on a Monday. So how is the church calculating Pentecost and Pentecost Sunday to be every Sunday, being Sunday every year, using Sunday as the day of worship? They would have to come up with Pentecost Monday. So they know what the true Sabbath is because that's what they have to use to calculate to come up to Sunday. Seven Sabbaths of Saturday will give you 49 days plus one day will give you Sunday for Pentecost. So they know what the real Sabbath day is. They choose to follow the doctrine of men and worship on Sunday. And then they can do whatever they want on that Sunday. Go to church, come home, cut the grass, paint the house, wash the car, clean the house, do whatever they want. Because their Sunday Sabbath don't have no laws to it as to what you can and cannot do. Oh, we're not up under that. So their Sabbath is just a day that they do an observance. Their Sabbath is just a day that they come to worship, come to sing songs and preach and teach from the Bible, mostly falsehoods. So them don't even go into all the books of the Bible. Oh, no, we just New Testament only saints. That law ain't got nothing to do with us. We ain't up under it. We're under grace. These are the things that they say and teach. But those things were changed, and the day was changed by the Catholic Church. Most I said, honor the Sabbath and to keep it holy. If you say you keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, the church said they keep all 10. They don't keep the Sabbath. Oh, we keep Sunday. That's our Sabbath. But that's not the Sabbath of the Most High. It's on the first day of the week. They were out doing business. They were still preaching and teaching, but they kept Sabbath. They kept the weekly Sabbath. Which said they could go to the synagogue. They could go study. They could do those things that were lawful to do on the Sabbath. But they kept Sabbath. Let us stop here. Pray something was said to encourage each and every one of you to keep the Sabbath holy. Purpose it in your life that you're going to keep it holy, that you're not going to transgress it, that you're going to honor the Most High in it. But he said by keeping it, you honor him. When you don't keep it, you dishonor him. So to all our friends that are in the Sunday church, you know, if you're not listening online, to those that listen to the broadcast, that download the broadcast, who have been listening, who have been thinking about it, to those pastors who have talked to me that are saying that they are Hebrew, but they're still keeping Sunday, I don't get that. You say that they keep Sabbath, but their congregation still keeps Sunday. I say, stop. Stop, because the Most High said this is a sin that you die for. And the day was never changed. And we need to teach your flock to be keeping the Sabbath. And all those that won't, then you just need to let them walk doing this for the money. And maybe while you're keeping Sunday, more people will come to church, more profit in it. And if you're not keeping the weekly Sabbath, then it's like, okay, I can have these events on this day. I can send my wife out to do this on this day. I don't have to truly honor it. The Most High says, stop. Tell my people the truth. Tell them to purpose, to keep all of my Sabbaths, not just the weekly ones, but the monthly ones, the weekly ones, and the yearly ones. Say, when is the new moon over? And when shall the Sabbath be over that we can sell, that we can do business? Maybe that's why people don't want to keep the new moon. But it's commanded. So, are there any questions from anyone? Now, if you have a question, you can press the number 1 and ask your question on the 516 number. If you are in the room, you know, you can just open your mic.
No question.
All right, let me see if anybody's going to press the number 1. I'll give them a couple of seconds.
Okay.
All right, there are no questions. Then may the Most High bless you. We will have the business meeting on this Thursday for anybody who wants to attend. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints, and his judgment, for this is the whole duty of man. Shalom.
Amen.
Enjoy the rest of your evening. And let me play the theme.
Forever, sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? But I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
Everyone.
All right.